Hi, this is Sheila with the Communicate Influence podcast. This interview is especially for content writers who want to learn more about SEO. I speak with search engine optimization expert Eli Schwartz, who's just released an excellent book called Product-Led SEO. Eli and I talk about SEO from a content writer's point of view. We also explore what SEO is and isn't, what kind of businesses need SEO, and of course, exactly what product-led SEO is. You can find product-led SEO on Amazon and all good bookstores. I highly recommend it. And links to Eli's blog and website are in the show notes. Thanks for listening. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please recommend it to your colleagues and peers.
Eli, welcome so much to the Communicate Influence podcast.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. I've been so looking forward to this. I'm coming at this from a content strategist and writer point of view, and I imagine there are a lot of other people like me who are going to be buying your book, Product-Led SEO. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your book, Eli.
So I've been a growth consultant for a couple of years, but prior to that, I spent about maybe 12 years doing in-house SEO and worked for some really amazing companies. Most recent company was SurveyMonkey, where I joined and I helped build the organic channel from essentially only visibility on the word SurveyMonkey and the word surveys up until, by the time I left it, 3/4 of the global revenue had been driven by search traffic, by organic search traffic. And through that experience of working at SurveyMonkey and then consulting, I developed a number of processes and strategies of the way to approach and sell SEO internally and to be able to get things done. And that led me to starting to write a book, which, initially I wasn't positive that it would even become a book. But as I got into it, I realized that, this was a book. This is something I want to spend time doing, where I was able to put down my thoughts of how to approach SEO from a strategic standpoint, how to approach SEO from an internal standpoint and be successful. Some things I reference in my book and some things that, I could have spent more time on. But I think the in-house SEO role is a challenging role where it usually is not a very senior role, but it has a great amount of senior influence. And the thoughts I put in my book is a way to, to have that influence pay off and to be successful. And I'm working with a consulting client now who's building what they think to be a $1 to $2 billion organic business. So they generate billions of dollars already from their business as a whole. And together we're creating a $1 to $2 billion organic acquisition channel. That's significant. That's valuable from an SEO standpoint. And the way SEO is typically done, it might have been, hey, let's rank on these keywords, not thinking about it from that $1 to $2 billion perspective. So that's what I put in my book. Like I want to create this conversation for executives and for leaders and how to understand SEO and how to fund SEO and how to plan for SEO and how to strategize SEO. And it's also for the SEO managers and the content managers, how to think about SEO from a strategic and holistic standpoint rather than just from a tactical standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, your book is fantastic. I highly recommend it to anyone who even is on the peripheral of SEO because I'm enjoying it so much. And one of the nice things about it is that it is so easy to read. Sometimes you read books on or articles on SEO, and I almost wonder if the writers make it as confusing as possible, just so you'll think, well, I can't figure it out. I've got to get a consultant. You're bamboozled almost.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it comes down to people act like SEO is this mysterious technical channel, and it's not, and that's what I put in my book. Like I was talking to an entrepreneur today, a CEO of a venture-backed business, and they told me what they're doing for SEO. And they're like, is that what I should be doing? And I said, pretty much it. Yeah. You write your content and you put your content out there and you optimize the meta tags and make sure the right content is on the page. A lot more goes into it, like how to build that into a bigger product, how to drive more traffic. But from where they stood right now, they're doing just fine. They don't need an SEO audit. They don't need an SEO consultant. They certainly don't need an SEO agency. So I'd say like a lot goes into making SEO as opaque and as technical as possible when it really doesn't have to be. So yes, you're right. There is some aspect of bamboozling and that's scamming. But this is the way that that industry will work, is you want to make it opaque. So therefore you need to hire someone. So potentially when you read these, you know, opaque articles, you want to hire the writer of that article rather than the writer saying, hey, you know, I actually couldn't really add value here. So I'm going to give you all the secrets and do it yourself. If you get confused, I'm happy to do it for you. So I think too much of that goes on.
Yeah. And in fact, this is one of the things that I love about your book and the previous podcast episodes that I've listened to where you've been a guest, because you make that very clear that you tell some B2Bs and even some consumer brands that they don't need SEO. Let's dig into that a little bit. I'm kind of going off my own list of questions here and going off on a tangent, but give us some examples of when brands or businesses don't need SEO.
So I go into this in my book, and it's most important that if you're going to be investing in SEO, you should make sure that there is a hypothesis for an SEO conversion. So if you, you know, take it in two steps back, if you can't imagine why someone would Google or Bing for your product or business, and if they did so, they weren't going to click through and convert, then SEO makes absolutely no sense. Mm. So if SEO makes sense, then you can say, well, who is that user? What kind of content do they want? But if in your mind, you can't logically explain to yourself why someone would do that, and that's where the conversion would come through, why would you invest in that? And the example I give in my book for that is, you know, some large, expensive B2B SaaS product. So if you're some large, expensive B2B SaaS product, let's say you're AWS, your Amazon Web Services, you're selling cloud services to large businesses who are going to spend millions of dollars on it. And AWS is really only competing at that scale with two other companies who are competing with Google and Microsoft. So there's no discovery, there's no bake-off. It doesn't come down to who has the better marketing, it comes down to who has the better fit. So if you're AWS, why would you spend money on SEO? Because no one is actually going to Google, oh, I need cloud services. Oh, I didn't even had no idea Amazon did this. Oh, it's only $1 million. Let me just put that on the corporate card. No problem. That's not happening. So if you can't logically explain to yourself how that might happen, then why would you spend money in SEO? And even if an SEO, there was an SEO conversion there. So say the CIO of Netflix had no idea that Amazon had web services. They're just Googling and then they discover AWS. Well, the next thing they're going to do before they spend millions, in Netflix's case is billions, on AWS, they're going to find the competition, and that's Google and Microsoft. And at that point, it's no longer an online thing anymore. It's a salesperson, it's a demo, it's a webinar, it's all that. So that's not an SEO conversion you could ever track. So that's what I think is most important when you're investing in SEO is, does this even make sense? And SEO is an investment. Even if it's very, very inexpensive, the money and the time you put into SEO, you're now taking away from something else that could be more effective. Like, you know, maybe it's a blog post. Could that writing time have been more effective on an email newsletter? Could the design assets you used been more effective and on the homepage, or more effective at, you know, even sending a physical brochure direct mail? That's the decision people have to make.
Mm. And you reiterate this point, don't you, throughout your book, that it's very much focused on the user and thinking about what they might do or what someone might be looking for, as opposed to, you know, just competing with, well, you know, this insurance company is doing this or this SaaS is doing this. We should be doing it too.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's great. If your competitors are doing it and it doesn't make any sense, let them keep doing it.
Yeah. And I have found in my career that too many people, well, they've done it. We should be doing it as well. Like, first of all, do you even know that it's successful for your competitor? No, you probably don't. Now, going back to your book, Product-Led SEO, let's define, what do we mean when we say, what do you mean, Eli, when you say product-led? What is the product?
So there are a couple things I mean by that. And I think to understand product-led SEO, you really need to understand what product-led SEO is not. So product-led SEO is not content-led SEO. So the way most people are going to do SEO is they're going to look at their core business product, core business offering, and they're going to go to a keyword search tool, and they're going to discover what the keyword is that they should put around, you know, put in for their core product offering, and then they're going to write some content, typically a blog post, and then that blog post is going to be their SEO. Now, when I think of product-led SEO, I think about it holistically. You're creating a product. You're creating an asset for SEO for the search user. And when you're creating that asset for the search user, it's not just a blog post that you intend to rank on one keyword. It's a product. It's an asset that I want to rank on a need of a user. And when I think about it from a product standpoint, this is the other aspect of product-led SEO. I'm now thinking of who is the user? Because when you create products, you want to think about who the user is. What is the roadmap to launch that product? Who are the resources I need to launch that product? So it's no longer just, I need content because that is SEO. It's, well, I need a designer. I need an engineer to help launch that product. I need a content writer to write the right amount of content for that. I maybe need some visual assets, you know, license some pictures or take some pictures. Maybe you need to put some structured data in it to, you know, add more meat to the page. So those are the things you're thinking of. It's not just, oh, write this and here's my SEO. The other part of the product is I don't think about it page by page. I think about it need by need. So It becomes, here's the user need. What are all the things? And hopefully there's thousands of potential pages that you can create that I can do to satisfy this product. You know, product-led SEO is not a fit for every business. For a local business, you probably don't want to do product-led SEO. If someone's looking for pizza, there's no reason to create a bunch of SEO. You know, what you need to do for pizza is you just need to tell them, you know, what time you're open and, you know, what sort of pizza do you have? Do you have gluten-free pizza? Do you know, what sort of cheese? Do you have vegan cheese? Right? Those, just answer those questions. There's no reason to create a ton of SEO around that. But when you have a product, when someone is looking for, you know, what should be the salary be for a new employee, and they're not really even sure what to, you know, the title of that new employee and how much experience and all that. So now you have a product. Now you have a ton of questions to answer, because what should the salary be? Well, it's based on the school they went to. It's based on the degree they have. It's based on where they live. It's based on their past experience. It's based on all that. Now you have lots and lots of questions to answer and lots of pages to create. Again, not just keyword, which is how much should I pay a junior marketing assistant?
And so I believe you gave an example in your book, and it was the telehealth example, and the product was a database with costs and something else. And that was a really good example of a product. So how difficult is it for a business to come up with a product where they can build content around and have it function as a really good SEO product?
Very difficult. The more difficult it is, the more defensible it is. So I'd say if you can't come up with a product, if there is no product-led SEO approach for your business, that's okay. But you shouldn't necessarily do content-led SEO. You shouldn't pour a ton of resources and money into content-led SEO. Write the content you need. If their user's looking for you, if there's a part of their user journey, write that content. And that's great. Like if they land on your page, they'll read that content. If you can put it out on email, they'll read that content. You put it on social media, they'll read that content. But that's not your big SEO effort. If, like I said, a pizza shop, there are questions the pizza shop should answer with SEO, with content, but they shouldn't be creating, you know, blog posts around pizza and pizza in my city and all that. Like that's not necessarily. Take that money and, you know, may have a better design aesthetic in the actual store, right? So it's okay not to have product-led SEO. And the example I use in my book is, you know, that's, you're looking to create a new business. You're looking to drive a lot of inbound traffic to telehealth, because telehealth is, you know, there are a lot of telehealth offerings out there, but you want to do something differentiated to create more top of funnel. There's a product and there's something you can create. If there isn't, that's okay too.
And a couple of things there to dig a bit further is that it's interesting that you speak about SEO as being a channel and very much at the top of the funnel, and that if you're not going to be able to get an ROI or even measure that ROI, you shouldn't be investing in it. I found that kind of fascinating because, you know, it's very much a tick box exercise in some organizations. Well, you know, we need a content writer, the CEO or this person needs a blog, we need to be found on these keywords. But for you, it's, as you say, it's very much strategy and being led by the product. Can you talk a little bit about that as SEO as a channel and top of funnel?
Yeah. So as you think of SEO as, first of all, it's a channel. It's not its own silo, right? So like going back to like we talked about like how to measure and how to, you know, prioritize and how to think about whether there is ROI there. So it's just one channel you use to drive traffic, you don't have to do it if it doesn't make sense for you. Just like you don't have to do brand marketing, just like you don't have to do influencer marketing. If influencer marketing doesn't make sense for you, you don't do it. You don't put money in it. If brand marketing, putting billboards on the side of a highway, don't make sense for you, don't do it. You don't invest in it. SEO is the exact same thing. So it's just a channel. Now, the other piece around SEO and about whether you should or shouldn't do it is you have to understand the place of where it's going to fall. So in many cases, SEO is going to be super top of funnel. So say you're a hotel or you're a travel operator and people are going to discover your hotel or your travel business based on research deciding if they would like to take a trip. So when they discover your content, they are very unlikely going to be so in the frame of mind where they're going to be like, that's it. I found this hotel, I'm booking it. Or I found this tour, I'm booking it. They may have not even decided that they're going on the trip. They may not have even decided they want to go to your destination. They may not have even decided, they may not have booked tickets yet. So it's not possible for them to do that final conversion. Now, maybe if you're an e-commerce, that's a different story. That's more immediate. They're going to go and they're going to find your product and they're going to say, this is what I want and I'm going to go buy it. And guess what? If I don't like it, I'll return it. So that's a different story. But I think that's what's important to think of where they are in the funnel. So if you say, I want to invest in SEO because I know I can create more top of funnel for my business. And as they move down the funnel, so closer to conversion, then they'll convert. And that's okay if they convert in another channel, because I know that I've brought more potential users who will convert directly on our brand or convert directly on, or convert with our paid marketing. We'll go retarget them or they'll click in, you know, for our specific terms. That's what's important. I don't think it's important to say, should I invest in SEO because people are going to pull out their credit card and pay right now? It's, should I invest in SEO because I can widen my funnel? I can find more people that may not have already known about my product offering.
Do you think that some marketers are just unrealistic about what even well-executed SEO can do? Because, you know, most consumers are quite, discerning, aren't they? Even if you're ordering, say, a hamper for Mother's Day, I might check out the reviews and see what other people are saying about this specific business and the quality of their contents. I don't just land on a website and then an e-commerce website and then jump over to PayPal and make a purchase.
Yeah, and I think that is a problem in the SEO industry, and I'm never going to blame SEOs. The SEO industry is amazing, and the individuals are amazing. The problem is, and something I'm hoping to address with my book, is that where SEO sits, it doesn't have enough business visibility. So they're focused sometimes on these myopic metrics around, here's my ranking, or here's the traffic I've gotten, instead of this perspective of, I'm here operating a channel to grow more business, or to grow more revenue in total for this business. So what can I do to help make that happen rather than what can I do immediately to create traffic just on this page? So If you have that perspective of there's reviews, people may not convert right away, that's okay. It's important to have that perspective and do your best within that environment as a part of the holistic view and the holistic strategy of the entire business rather than this is what I'm going to do that's good for SEO and that's it.
And I think sometimes that's because people are really looking for quick wins. People still seem to think that SEO, you produce, say, 5 weeks worth of blog posts and it will have some kind of magical effect. And that takes me back to the days when I first started working in online media. I worked for a newspaper in the north of England called the Northern Echo. And it was very much, just target these keywords. All we want is numbers. It wasn't, is this being read? What's the user action? It's changed so much. Now we want people to actually go ahead and purchase. And yet I find that some people outside of SEO haven't caught up with that. I find that some clients will say, we did 3 blog posts and nothing happened. It's very unrealistic, the expectation.
I'm happy that the conversation is now changing to what should happen with this click and what should happen with this user and how should SEO be contributing to the business? Because I think we're getting closer to that point where it matters more.
Yeah. But that still seems very, very early. Would you agree with that? Or is that kind of my off-base perception because I'm not really in the industry?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very early. This is a very early process. There's still a lot of growth to happen here.
Okay. Now, I sent you a link. It was an article from Neil Patel's blog noting the increases in the number of Google searches that get no click. He's quoting a figure of something like 62%, and he sees this as an emerging issue. Now, first of all, what did you think of that article?
You know, I've seen this before. I think he was quoting Rand Fishkin in that article. And, you know, I love, you know, that people dig into these things. And I completely, completely disagree as this as an emerging issue. I think that there's a concept which, you know, you don't hear talked about enough. And I definitely didn't coin this term of click arbitrage, which is people are writing content hoping to just grab some search traffic and then point you somewhere else. Now, let's say an example is, what time is the Super Bowl going to start? So that's a search that people search every year on the day of the Super Bowl. They want to know what time kickoff is. So for years, CBS or whoever hosts the Super Bowl was able to rank that content. So now you have to go on Google and you search it, and then you click that first result, and then you go to read a blog post, which talks in detail about the events of the day and then tells you what time the Super Bowl will start. That's absolutely ridiculous. You want to know what time the Super Bowl will start. That's Google should be able to tell you. If, you know, why should Google have to allow you to click off to another property? Google can also license that data of what time the Super Bowl start. The same goes with what time is it in London right now? Why should I have to go to like worldanddate.com or timeanddate.com to find that out when Google can just tell me exactly what time it is in London? So I don't think it's an emerging issue. I think it's an improvement of Google that Google can now answer questions quicker. Who won the sports game? How tall is this person? Who is the president in that year? Like, that's good. I want Google to answer more of those questions because that's a better web experience for everybody. The second thing that comes into the zero-click data is what some may perceive to be zero-click is just a refinement. So when you type a search into Google, Google may say, well, you know, your last query was, what should I eat for lunch? And you just searched pizza. So maybe you're not looking for the recipe of pizza, but can I suggest that here's pizza near me? They're giving you a suggested term. So you did one search, you didn't click, it was a zero click. And now Google suggests you another search and you go to a better search and you find exactly the pizza shop you want to go to and you map to it, probably on a Google property too, which is great because Google produced Google Maps and it's a great tool. If MapQuest would have done as well of a job, then people would be using MapQuest. So I don't think it's an emerging issue. I think it's an improvement. I think it's something that will lead to more searches overall.
And what's the SEO response to that? If you see something like that happening and you notice that, well, I don't know how you would notice, but you think that your content is ranking, but you're not getting the clicks. What's the next step? What should you do there?
It's not about rankings. It should be about revenue. And if you're not providing value to users that they should want to click into you, then you are potentially investing in the wrong place. So if you are creating, this is a touchy one. If you're creating unique recipes and you're providing all your recipes to Google, then maybe you don't want to be providing all your recipes to Google. You want to be providing content that people should want to come to your unique recipes. But if all you're doing is, if you're not creating unique content, you're creating a list, you're aggregating a list of the top New York Times bestsellers of the week, which by the way belongs to the New York Times, and Google can also buy that data for the New York Times, and you're not getting clicks, then I'd say you're probably investing in the wrong place. It's important to invest somewhere that's unique and you're providing something of unique to users, and then hopefully Google will license it from you or they'll send traffic your way.
Cool. I love that. Invest in the right place. For a website that is launching today, it's June 1st. They're doing everything right. They actually have a product around which they can build, you know, product-led SEO. How much time can that website expect, or the website owners expect it to take for them to start getting some traffic and the type of traffic and responses that they want from users?
I don't think there's an accurate answer there. It depends on the space. If you've created a brand new website in a space where there's a ton of demand for your content and you don't have any competition, could take 3 days. If you've created content in a place that's highly competitive, it could take never. You may never get visibility. So I'd say it ranges anywhere from, you know, 12 hours to never.
Okay. And Eli, is there anything that I've not asked you during this interview that you'd like to touch upon?
I think we've covered everything. What I think is, you know, the only other thing I'd call out is for the SEO manager out there that's listening to this, or for the content manager that's listening to this, that, you know, that wants to think about how they can improve their career. And of course, they should check out my book, but how they can improve and grow their career in SEO is get more visibility. Move away from the metrics of, you know, here's my ranking and here's the content I've created. Move in the direction of, here's how much money I've added to the business. The strategies I've done have created millions of dollars in revenue, have created hundreds of thousands of users, and you'll get more responsibility. You know, it's a lot easier to pitch for a higher budget or even a raise for yourself when you can say, I've created millions of dollars for the business, or you forget raise for yourself. You can go get another job and say, I'm leaving this job because I've created millions of dollars at my past company, instead of, well, what are your credentials? So I've gotten three, you know, number one rankings on keywords no one cares about. Like, think as big as possible. SEO is so impactful. I forget the numbers now, but in the past I've given these presentations where I talk about Google's global revenue. You know, it's in the hundreds of billions of dollars for Google, and how much of that global revenue is coming from ads. So that's Google's primary revenue source, people clicking on ads on Google. And the click-through rate of ads on Google is very, very low. It's, let's say, between 3 to 5%. So 3 to 5% is all Google's driving revenue on, all that, you know, billions and billions of dollars. The remainder of that billions of dollars, or the remainder of those clicks that are not clicked on, is all organic search. So like, that's the potential, like that's the billions and billions of dollars that can be driven for organic search. And I think that pie is just growing and growing. And I don't think SEO is ever going to die. I think SEO is going to transform. I think the SEO manager is going to become even more valuable as SEO itself becomes more valuable, as, you know, more this digital transformation that happened from the pandemic, as more businesses realize that they need to go online, as they need to go find their customers online. Yes, a lot more money will be spent on Google and Facebook and all those other advertising channels, but just as much money or more money could be spent on organic and creating those organic channels. So be valuable, be a part of that future, and think big.
Mm. And would you say think daringly is important too? Because to kind of step out of what everyone else is doing, what the competitor's doing, and saying, hey, you know, I think we should be doing this, and it's so different, no one's thought of it. That's kind of risky, isn't it?
Risk reward. If you don't take the risk, you won't get rewarded. And I'd say more than just think daringly, think creatively. You know, don't say the competitors are doing this, so I'm going to do this better. Say the competitors are not doing this, and I believe that this will work.
Yeah. And Eli, tell us where we can find you and your book.
So you can find me on LinkedIn. Just look for Eli Schwartz on LinkedIn. I connect with everyone, provided that does not apparent that you will spam me in 1 second after we connect. Find me on Twitter at 5LE. My personal website is elischwartz.co. I have a really well-designed Wix website. Wix helped me build a nice website for my book at productledseo.com. And of course, you can find the book basically everywhere books are sold. I think iBooks, Amazon, of course, Barnes & Noble. And, you know, pick up the book. The book is not meant to create a lead funnel for my own consulting. The book is meant to start a conversation. So let's start that conversation. My email address is in the book. Read the book. Reach out. Love to hear what you think.
That's great. Thanks so much, Eli. As I said earlier, I'm really grateful for your time today.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.